Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask you again to teach us, lead us, direct us, humble us before yourself in Christ's name. Amen. Do we hear God? Do we hear God? We have an important phrase in our study today. It's hearing with faith. Hearing with faith. The NIV gives us a good start on the meaning, as in believing what you heard, but it's really a lot more than that. But it gives us a good start. Hearing with faith means that we are listening to God with the intent to believe. We are listening to God with the intent to believe. So do we hear God? But more accurately, per our text, I should ask, do we hear with faith? And why is that important? Or what if I ask you if it even was that important for us to hear God? You would probably respond with something like, well, of course it's important that we hear God. So have you made that a priority? Where does hearing God rank on your list of priorities for the week? Where is hearing God on your to-do list? And who is this God we are trying to hear? And why should he command our attention that we should hear him above everything else? Well, he is God. Only him, there is none other. He is God. I'm not asking you if we need to hear abstract principles or religious concepts or theology or dogma or traditions. Those may have their place, but they mean nothing if we are not hearing God. So what God might we be talking about this morning? This God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. And lastly, know therefore today and lay it to your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. That would be the God I'm referring to. I recently came across a quote by A.W. Tozer, which said, when we become too glib in prayer, we are most surely talking to ourselves. When we become too glib in prayer, we are most surely talking to ourselves. So here's Dave Scott following up on A.W. Tozer. When we become too glib in our Bible study, when we become too glib in our approach to God and His Word, we are most surely just listening to ourselves. And it certainly seems that we do a lot of listening to ourselves. When we only give a casual glance to a verse of Scripture and offer our opinion without first painstakingly seeking to hear with faith God's voice on the matter. Or when we reference verses in our Bible studies and Sunday school classes that we have only given a cursory inspection, a glance over, if that, and yet say that this verse teaches such and such, but the actual words and the phrases and sentences of the verse say nothing of the kind. Where is humbling ourselves and trembling before the words of God? What has happened to thus saith the Lord? Where is the receiving and treasuring and making our ears attentive to the words? Where is the inclining our hearts to understanding and the crying out for insight and raising our voices for understanding? When do we seek God's wisdom like we seek silver and search for his knowledge like it is a hidden treasure? Where is the conviction that only after the receiving and searching and seeking and crying out and inclining our hearts, that then and only then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God? For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where is forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens, and your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word, and I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. Where is our hunger and thirst and our intense desire to hear the words that God speaks to us so we know exactly the path before us? The foolish, foolish Galatians were listening to themselves, not to God. The humans had the floor. Those who preached a different gospel had the dominant voice, and God's people loved it so. Why is it so important that we hear God so that we know exactly what to believe? If you turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? There's our first use of that phrase. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, by human effort, or by hearing with faith? The NIV, again, captures that very well, although not the full meaning, but it says, or by believing what you heard. Heard from who? Heard from God through Paul. If you want to go back to verse 16 of chapter 2, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Three times it talks about faith versus works. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Why do we need to hear God above everyone else? Because the others will change the message, just as Paul has dealt with from the very beginning in this letter to the Galatians. They had changed, even though the message was crystal clear. And that's what Paul was saying in the second part of verse 1 back in chapter 3. It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. He said, it's clear, it's plain, it's obvious. How can that picture get clouded? How can the haze come in and the fog drift in and confuse them so much that it's like someone has cast a spell over them? Because they weren't hearing God. They weren't hearing with faith. We hear with the intent to believe God. That's the first step to hearing what God actually says, is that we intend to, and then the follow-up of that, and we're going to see in the example of Abraham in a little bit. Then we obey that. But finishing verse 16 of chapter 2, we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. When we hear God and believe him, we receive the Spirit. Now what's happened here? This is the Spirit has been introduced into our study, hasn't it? Now we're going to see a very heavy part later. We live by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Grieving the Spirit here, but walking according to the flesh, which is opposite to the Spirit. All these things are going to be coming up. Now, what I've discovered is, because I did discover some what we believe statements, and it said that through baptism by immersion, that we for the forgiveness of sins and to receive salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what it has helped me to see is that this discussion is really, it grows in significance. And what it's speaking of is the baptism of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. So what we're going to do, and actually it's God's perfect timing for me. Next week we don't have services. The following week we have John and Katie Carter in the evening. So it gives me a lot of prep time, and I'm going to need it. Because we have to understand, what does this mean? Now let me give you some examples, and I will, if you would like this list, I can give it to you. And I'm more than likely going to post it on the web. Not all of my answers, but just to show you the direction that we're going. Now, for instance, understanding our salvation understanding the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very important to understanding our salvation and understanding justification. There are things that I never heard growing up in church because we heard mostly gospel messages. And so I've been saturated in this stuff, and I have this degree and that degree, and I've been studying for years, and so I assume too much sometimes. But I didn't know the concept of everybody everywhere who actually believes authentically, who trusts in Christ and is His, is in one church. The Holy Spirit puts us in the body of Christ. I didn't know that. It wasn't until Moody and going through the theology classes that I knew that. So what we're going to do then, I don't know how many weeks it'll take, 2 weeks at least, I would say. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit. Because I think it helps us then to understand when we read these various things through the Gospels and through Acts. See, there was a transition time. Let me give you just, I debated whether to get into this at all, but we have the Old Testament, right? The Holy Spirit, His role was different in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. In the New Testament, when you trust in Christ, just this text right here, when you believe in Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ. That's not how it worked in the Old Testament. But let me give you just a little bit of an idea of what our Bible captures for us. And by the way, captures it very powerfully and very accurately. We would say from our Genesis study, and we would look at very realistically the creation of this world about 4,000 BC. Now, Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Many of us are familiar with that, the Pentateuch. But when did Moses live? It's about 1500. So we went, how many years is that between 4,000 BC and 1500 BC? 2,500 years, where the Word of God wasn't written down. We talked about in our Genesis study, it was passed on orally. There were possibly things written down. Moses brought this together. Abraham was approximately 2,000 BC. We have the information on Abraham. Well before Moses, well before the law, what does it say? I think later in Galatians, 430 years. Did you hear that? 400? Before the law. We have this huge volume of time because we think Old Testament, we think the law, don't we? There was more time. Just hang on to this for a second. There was more time without the law in the Old Testament from creation to Moses, more time without the law than there was with the law. 1500 BC approximately. I'm giving you approximate. We're going to just go through all this. So we have that God working in the Old Testament. So they start writing things down, and they write things down until about 430 BC. So from about 1500 BC to about 430 BC. So about 1100 years. The 66 books of the Bible. Now, I had one thing I was kind of writing, and I was thinking, it's a good thing God didn't have a publisher. Because a publisher would be calling God up and saying, really, 1,000 years and you're not done yet? I mean, you're not even done with part one yet? See, the scope that we have, when we see these things, it's backdrop to our scripture. We're already going like, wow, God, your word is amazing. And our chin just drops further to the floor. And so then we have, and many of you are familiar with this, maybe not some of the other, but with this, 400 years, a little over 400 years, it's not that people weren't writing, but it wasn't being written as God's word. Then what happened? Then when did the next word come? John the Baptist brought the word. He spoke the word, and that's good. He was speaking that, preparing the way of the one. It's John 1, 14 or 16, who was full of grace and truth. Well, what's John 1, 1 say? Let me just turn there. I should be, if I do that to myself. John 1, 1. See, I'm really getting into this more. We'll have to ride like the wind, but we'll get through this. John 1, 1, now that I've plunged in here. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Who's this speaking of? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God, okay, so now we've had 4,000 years of earth history. We haven't had anything written for over 400 years. Now God comes to the planet. But it's specifically, who is he? He's the Word, the Logos. And it says, for from him, his fullness, we have all received. Grace upon grace. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen this glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So then you have Christ walking the earth, growing up, and all the stories that we have, stories as in the biblical accounts. And then Christ living and dying and resurrected. And then you have that middle, that transition book of Acts. And then what we haven't is we've heard of the day of Pentecost, and that's when the church was born. And that's when just it's like things dramatically, dramatically changed. Now this time where we are is after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, they did things such as, oh, you haven't had the Holy Spirit yet? Well, the apostles would lay hands on them. And it usually was accompanied by speaking in foreign languages. But the things change. We have to get this whole. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12:13, Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3, 1 Corinthians 10:1 and 2, where it speaks of they were all baptized into Moses. They were immersed into Moses, and they're speaking figuratively. 1 Peter 3:21, the role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the role of the Holy Spirit in the Gospels and in Acts, the baptism of repentance, John's baptism of repentance, John the Baptist that Lee mentioned to us, and understanding the movement and work of God from the beginning of creation and the transition that occurred when the Son of God came to earth, died on the cross, rose again, the birth of the church at Pentecost. You say, well, Dave, you said it all. We don't need to study that. Oh, no, we need to study it. Believe me. And it will. What it does is it provides roots. It provides foundation. You know what rebar is, don't you? Reinforcement bar in concrete. Have you ever seen this stuff? They're ripping something apart. Or maybe if you've seen they're putting down new concrete and they're putting those rods in there. That's rebar, reinforcement bar. They, like everything, we shorten rebar. Or if you've seen it when they're tearing something apart and it looks like frozen spaghetti, that's rebar. Well, this will be like rebar. It's supportive. It will be very strengthening to us. It will give us such a better platform then to understand. See, Paul knew all of these. Paul brought all of these things together to them. And this is what some of the sermons were. If you read these long sermons by Peter and Paul in Acts, that's what they were doing. They were going all the way back here, and they were saying, hang on, folks, we've got to bring it all the way up here. And in some of those messages, and one especially at the end, the people were just shocked because the reality of it hit them. Peter had done such a powerful job of bringing their problem to them. They said, oh no, what are we going to do? So we're going to look at those things. But this is what this had introduced to me. But in our text today, back to that, when we hear God and believe him, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's what it says right here in verse 2. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? See, Paul is trying to probe them because they have been so foolish. And it's not just them, because we can be just as foolish. And we have to understand that. If you don't understand, if you're just offended when someone suggests that you might be acting foolishly, or someone suggests you might be acting sinfully. You can't do that. You have to be hearing the message with faith. God, is this you speaking to me? And Paul's trying to penetrate. He's just astounded. He's bewildered. He's shocked. How can you be so foolish? He said, you saw it's Christ and Christ alone. But he continues, and like I say, it introduces then the Spirit, the Spirit's work. And Christ, see, had said, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I think chapter 16, we'll look at all. We're going to cover it all. No, we're not going to cover it all. We're going to cover as much as I have left in the tank and just pray God's leading on what we will. Let me just share something else with you along that line. What does the good shepherd do? You know, one thing, Paul called Timothy, and we're going to look at some of these things too. Because see, here's something, a shepherd, a pastor. Now, pastor is not really the only one that's a shepherd, but I am a shepherd. And sometimes we don't understand what the shepherd's doing. And we got to trust God for that too. Because I'll tell you what, you know when I'm wonderful, man, I see you in the hospital. No one has a problem with that. When I see you in the, you're just, man, that guy, he's the best. And, it's good. That doesn't mean you're the best, but it's good that you do that. And believe me, I love being there for you in that. But you know when I'm even the shepherd in a better and a greater way? When I give you God's truth. Now, in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, Paul charged Timothy. He said, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom. Paul says, Timothy, I'm not just talking to you. I'm drawing this whole thing in before you, God and Christ and the appearing of God's kingdom. And what is he setting the stage for? These words, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now here's the part I'm getting to. With complete or great, some of your Bibles have, I like better, with great patience and teaching or instruction. That's what a good shepherd does. That's what's driving me to this study, is not to lambast you with truth, but to where can I read? Because another text, and we won't go there, but John 21, where Jesus said, do you love me? Peter said, well, you know I love you. Well, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, care for my... Whose sheep are you? Christ. You're Christ, the great shepherd. You know what my commission is? To tend his sheep and remember whose sheep they are and never forget. That's a pretty cool concept, isn't it? Does that help you? It helps me. All of you. Every single one of you. It was even a little too weird for me, and I'll do weird stuff, you know that, but I was going to walk up and down the aisle and look at each of you in the eye. Do you know it's you? Do you know it's you? That's what, see, John 10, Christ talks about a good shepherd. Now, we aren't Christ, but it gives us an example of what a good shepherd, he said, a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, that woman there, that amazing woman of God that is alongside me, is my perfect helpmeet. That's why we're here. We don't have retirement plans. Our plans are to pour our lives out in service to Christ here. Lay down our lives for the sheep. So how can I do that? Do I have to plunge back in and help us understand better and plunge into this study that wasn't really part of the plan of Galatians? Well, that's what you do, because you preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and what? Teaching. So that's why we're going to give these things a good going over. So give you the best opportunity possible. Because see, that's what a shepherd does. Sheep will go, if you've ever read Keller's book on Psalm 23, and I can't think of the title, but it's so interesting, because sheep will go over here, but you got to bring them over here. They'll stay over here too long, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. That's what a shepherd does. You know what a hired hand does? He takes off. He sees the wolves coming. He sees the people who come and they twist and they turn his words. He sees this. The hired hand takes off. But Jesus says, not the good shepherd. The shepherd doesn't do that. The shepherd, you have to fulfill everything in our lives has to be set in the context of eternity. We looked at last week the rebuke set in the context of eternity. We reviewed suffering in the context of eternity. Everything in our lives, it doesn't need to make sense in this world as long as it makes sense before God. And that's really when it only makes sense. We hear God and believe Him. And we receive the Spirit. When you trusted in Christ, you received the Holy Spirit of God. You became part of the body of Christ. So why is it so important that we hear God? How do we know what to believe if we do not hear God? What God says in the Bible is our faith information. We hear, hearing with faith. This is what we need to know. The specific information, the what of what we are called to believe. Our confession of faith. Our confession of faith. That's what we believe. We say, and I heard a confession of faith, and I was sharing with this man, and he said, our confession of faith is this. Well, confession means basically to say the same thing. So if it's our confession of our belief in God, we want to make sure it says the same thing God says, don't we? So how do we know that? By hearing God, but it's more than that. It's this powerful, and I missed this for a while. I thought that the NIV had that believing what you heard, and that's good. That was a good start, but it's more. Hearing with faith. I go to God because when you go to God to hear Him, you don't like some of what He hears because what He calls us to is to follow Him. We want to live by sight. That's a combination of sight and faith, by the way. We want to live by sight. God calls us to live by faith. Hearing by faith, if you follow that then, to hear by faith, what's it naturally going to call us to? To live, we got to follow through by faith. We're going to see. We're going to get to Abraham's example here shortly. Here's the point. To say the same thing as God, then we have to know what God actually says. It's not a denominational struggle or you went to this school, this seminary, or that seminary, or this. Just throw all that out. I talked to someone this week on the phone. The person was very gracious, different beliefs than me. And I won't get into that. I may get into that a different time. Very, very gracious. But he said, you aren't of a Baptist background, are you? Just perchance. And I said, there's that in the background. There's independent fundamental churches in the background. But let me just give you this, that when we came back from Moody and moved back to the Terre Haute area, we didn't go back to the church we left. But that time it had become an independent Baptist church. It emphasis on the independent. But I did stop in. I said, you know, we can't attend here. I said, I'd drive you nuts and you'd drive me nuts. What I'm saying by this, that the point of this is let anything go that God isn't right clearly in His Word. But when you find those things, you die for them. So, I've got that in my background, and I've stepped aside. Now, their doctrine? No, I could probably use their doctrinal statement now, unless they had something in there, which they might. Because they were really getting far to the right, unless they had something like, you got to believe that the King James Bible is the only Bible and the others are perversions, because I grew up hearing that. That lost traction pretty quickly at Moody. The point is, I'm not just saying that, you guys, if you're hanging on to these old ways, you got to get rid of them. I'm rid of them. I'm telling you, I've done it. And what was it? If God called me to be a faith healing, slay him in the spirit, snake handling, pew jumping. That's what I'd want to do. Dunk him. That's not what God See, I really don't care about that other stuff. What does it say? This is the only thing that matters before the throne of God, and we will be there one day. He tells us how we're made right with Him. It's real clear. It's by faith alone. Saved by grace through faith, not of works. Well, in verses 3 to 5, it says, does he who supplies, are you so foolish? Paul's not done with hammering him on the foolishness yet. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? See, justification and then sanctification, where God is growing us. He said, do you really think that, okay, and I'm started? And the Spirit got me going. Now I've got it. I'll follow through. Now what happens is the old things come in. Well, we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to do that. We can become very legalistic. It just all whatever it is. But it's continuing. We continue to we keep hearing God and believing Him as the Spirit continues the finishing work of salvation. And on the front of your study sheet, the finishing work of the Spirit is based on the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ is our justification. The finishing work of the Spirit, He continues that, He builds on that, and He's growing us to the one point when we see Jesus Christ, our glorification. And it's really, it says in the text here, some of the translations use perfection, some use complete. But and those are valid words, but it's really more than that, because we could think, in our minds, we think perfection. But see, we can't think perfect enough, because it's the glory of God. So go ahead and think the most perfect you that you can even imagine. Push to the outer bounds. And it's not even going to come close to what God's finished product in your life. Paul's third question, how foolish are you? His fourth question, do they really believe that by human effort they can finish the work the Spirit began? Paul's fifth question, have you experienced all this for nothing? He keeps taking them back to their original experience. See, he asked them, he said, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard or by hearing with faith? Well, see, he knew what happened. Because, see, when they trusted Christ, the Spirit came. He said, now these people can keep telling you whatever they want to say, but you remember that, don't you? My chains fell off, the prison door opened. What's the song? His last question in this section is the same as the first. How does God give us His Spirit? Does it depend on human effort or by believing what God tells us? Did you suffer so many things in vain? Indeed, if indeed it was in vain, does He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by, here's our phrase, hearing with faith, that you were listening to God with the intent of believing Him and the follow-through, obeying Him, which now we see in the example of Abraham. We see both. We see Abraham's justification. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That is a statement of justification. Now, we're not going to, at this time, because Abraham's going to keep coming up for a while now in our Galatians study. But you can look in Romans 4, the first about 6-7 verses, it goes through this. But it all comes back to the same thing. God spoke, Abraham heard Him, and he believed, and he was made right with God. Now remember, this was before the law. So all this Old Testament instruction, all the stuff that we have written, we have this book that we should treasure more than we do, this completed Word of God. He didn't have that. You know what he had? He knew it was God talking. When God talks, you generally want to listen, don't you? Abraham's example of justification. Abraham heard God and believed God. Genesis 4 to 6. I'll read it. You can probably let me just read it. You can write it down if you want to look later, but I'm going to read Genesis 15, 4 to 6. Genesis 12, 1 and 4, and then we're going to go Hebrews 11, 8. But it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Now what is that? That's the divine information. The word of the Lord came to him. To who? Well, at this time, it was Abram. I believe it was still Abram. Could have been Abraham by now. He got changed somewhere along the way. Just give me a little break on that one. He said, this man shall not be your heir. And here's the story. Because Abram, God said, you're going to have a child. And he said, yeah, right. I'm 100 and Sarah's 90. Sure, we're going to have babies. And God said, and he said, well, here, this will be. And he said, no, that man, your servant, will not be. You will have an heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. You're not going to just have one or 10 or 20. Therefore, your offspring shall be. And he, Abram, or Abraham, believed the Lord. That's where this quote comes from that we have in the New Testament. And he counted it to him as righteousness. Again, that's our statement. You are made right with God when you believe. When you believe, you are made right with God. In Genesis 12, this is example again, Abraham hearing with faith. In Genesis 12, verse 1, and then I'll jump to verse 4. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So Abraham went. That's hearing with faith. That's hearing with the intent to believe and obey. What am I saying? God said, go. So what did Abraham do? He went. See, that's sometimes our problem. We're thinking, I don't know where God will have me go. See, we're not hearing with faith. We're not hearing with the intent. And you can believe me or not on this, but you say, well, I can read these words in the Bible. Yes, you can, but it's more than that. It's the Holy Spirit of God teaching you. And the Holy Spirit will not bend to your will if you're not hearing with the intent on believing God and following through, living that out. You will miss the truth. The Lord, back again to Abraham, he doesn't have this complete revelation that we have. His information could have been very scant. But he knew it was God. God told him to go, so he went. Verse in the New Testament account in Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out. Did he know where he was going? Nope. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now you gotta get a hold of this. He didn't have GPS. He didn't have TV, internet. He's out here. We don't even know how much the pagan society was. He was still very pagan in his beliefs. But God spoke to him. That's what we have to understand when God talks. And if our lives aren't being transformed, it's not God's problem. We're not hearing God. We're hearing the humans who have usurped the voice of God. And they can be very prestigious. They can be very well known. The religious leaders. It's exactly what happened to the Galatians. Conclusion. How about that? You see that? Uh-huh. Yeah, you didn't think I could do that, did you? How or why did Abraham hear God and obey? How or why? How did he do this? Because he knew it was God talking. Do you know why we don't hear with faith and obey? Well, it must be that it isn't God talking, because surely we would listen to God, wouldn't we? But the person who clings to the old ways, to works, to traditions, that person does not hear God. He is not hearing with faith, not hearing with the intent to believe and obey. He or she is hearing something. It's kind of God, but God has become more of a religious experience or representation to the person. God in the abstract, maybe God, the concept of God, but it's not God, but not the Lord God, the Almighty, before whom we fall in worship. No siree when that God speaks. We listen. It's even better than E.F. Hutton. We're all old enough to remember it. Well, maybe not all of us. Maybe a couple here aren't old enough. Abraham heard and obeyed because he knew God. He knew it was God talking. We don't know much about Abraham's theology. What we do know is that he realized it was God talking. So he did what you do when the Lord God the Almighty speaks, you hear and obey. Why is this so hard? Because hearing with faith means that what we hear by faith, we have to live by faith. Let me repeat that. Why is this so hard? Because hearing with faith means that what we hear by faith, we have to live by faith. And that can be scary. And it messes with our plans. And it changes relationships. The Galatians were told to walk by faith and not by sight. And the Galatians chose sight. They chose their familiar religious ways over the faith path of Jesus, Son of God. The human religious leaders got together and decided that this was the right thing to do. So they gave the people the answer that they really wanted all along. But it was not God's answer. So whose answer do you want? This was not God's answer because they had not heard God. They heard their religious leaders. It even sucked Peter in, if you remember, in chapter 2. So this morning, are you hearing God with faith? How does God tell us we receive the Spirit? By faith, not works. How does God tell us we are made right with Him? We are justified by faith, not works. Hearing God with the intent to believe and to by faith follow Jesus, Son of God, on the path of righteousness. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, as we prepare for these studies, help us to honor you, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, to honor your word, to honor the sheep of your hand, your people, Lord, most of all to honor you, and maybe even above that to make sure we love you first and foremost and always. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.